A little while ago, I was listening to an audio book by a chap called Malcolm Gladwell. And he speaks on something called outliers, just things that are different in the world. And in one of his chapters, he gave a wonderful illustration of family. And he was talking about how in Italy there was this one town, and some of the people left and they immigrated to America in the early days, and they went across and they found some work in a quarry, and more people came across. Eventually this little town started, and so it grew and it grew. More and more of them came across from Italy to this little town. And the one day the doctor from that town was at a conference with another doctor. And they were just chatting, and this doctor from this little town said, "You know, it's amazing, no one in my town dies from heart disease." This doctor said, "No, that's crazy, because at that stage in America, more than 60% of men were dying from heart disease." So he said, "No, that's crazy, that's impossible." He said, "Would you mind if I came along and just had a look, you know, what was going on? Maybe it's something in their diet, or maybe there's genetics." And so off he went, he came to the town. He spoke to the mayor said, "Yeah, use the town hall, and I've got four daughters, and they can assist you as your assistants." And so he did all this research in this town, trying to find out why this town had no heart disease. And the more he looked, the more confused he got, because it wasn't their diet. They ate like all other Americans. So he thought, well, maybe it's genetics. And so he found some people from that town that lived in other towns. And he went, he looked, they were dying from heart disease. So he thought, well, it's not genetics. And this was his conclusion. He began to have a look how they lived. You know what he found? They lived as family. He found that in a household you could have up to three generations, a great-grandmother and grandfather, grand and grandmother, who would take care of the family, look after the children when the parents were out working. You know what he found? He found that people would walk in the streets and talk to each other, that they would care for one another. 22 civic associations in this small little town to care for the poor and for those that had lost jobs. He found that more than anything else, family was more important to them than anything else that they did. The result was they had no heart disease. There was no addiction to drugs and alcohol. There was no divorce. There was no suicides in that town. And I was at a prayer meeting a little while ago, and there was a doctor there, and I told him of this story. In fact, I played him this little audio book. And I said to him, "So, tell me what you think." He said, "Brad, it's quite true." He said, "You can't believe the impact of family on people's health." And so this morning, it's all about family. We had a whole lot of new people come up front, and we've welcomed into this family at Highway. And adding to a family always brings blessing. There's two kinds. The people being added are a blessing to us, and we are a blessing to them. There's a blessing goes both ways when people are added to a family. And just recently, we had an addition to our family. No, Esty's not pregnant, thank the Lord. My daughter got married. And so we got a son, and another family got a daughter. And with that comes blessings you only get when you belong to family. You know, as a part of family, there's a whole lot of privileges you get to belonging to a family that you don't get as guests. Guests get looked after. They come in your home, you sit them down, you bring everything to them, you make sure everything's hunky-dory for them. But there's some privileges you get when you belong to a family. And a little while ago, Essie and I had a whole lot of youngsters in our home. My daughters had invited them, boys and girls. And so we got home a little later that day, and we walked in, they were all watching TV in the lounge. And so we went through to the kitchen, and my eyes got about this big, and my demeanor became grumpy, because my kitchen had been ravished. Now, I forgot what it was like when I was a young man, because I've got two daughters. Daughters don't ravish food. Boys ravish food. I got in there, the bread was finished, the milk was finished, the cheese was finished, the ice cream was finished, and my stony ginger beer was finished. And that was it. I said to my wife, "Babes, that's it. They finished my Sony ginger beer." I went through to the lounge, and in the best way that I could, I said to him, "Listen, none of you have any fridge rights in this home. You cannot open my fridge unless you have fridge rights. If you do not have fridge rights and you open my fridge, you're going to lose some fingers. Comprende?" You see, the way you get fridge rights is you become part of the family. Being part of our family means marrying one of my daughters. Now, I've got one left, but that's not an advert. It's a fact. All you young men, chill. It's just a fact. No advertising. Alternatively, if you don't marry into my family, you'd become a guest, then you become a friend, then you become a good friend. And good friends in our home have got fridge rights. You can open my fridge and take things out of my fridge and you can drink my stony ginger beer. You know, I don't know what it is about stony ginger beer. No one likes it until they've had one sip and they drink the whole bottle. It just works like that. But this morning, we've recognized a whole lot of people that have become good friends of our family here at Highway. And it's important because you've been added to Highway. You see, being part of family is important because this isn't the Highway Club. You don't join as a member and have a subscription. You join as part of the family. You've been added to us. And what's more, Scripture clearly tells us the Lord adds to His family. The Lord has added you to this family this morning. Our home is your home. And you have fridge rights in the kitchen. Just check with Cindy before you open it. But we are blessed to have you as part of this family of Highway. And we know that you're going to be a blessing to us. But later this morning, we're going to dedicate some children. And in the last while, Steve has been preaching on how we as Christians should reflect the character and attributes of God. If you're here, use that lamp. And as we went round the lamp with a mirror, we would be reflecting God in everything that we did. He had that lamp and that light bulb. We orbit around that lamp, which is God. And how do we know God's attributes? It's very clear. The Bible's full of it. The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. There's five already in one verse. Psalm 86, verse 15. The God of all grace, who's called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. To God belong wisdom and power. God is a God of disorder, not a God of disorder, but of peace. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless, and He is a shield. A whole lot of characteristics and attributes of God we find in Scripture. Now, we could go on. In fact, I was reading one commentary. 77 were listed. Reflecting God means, in a limited sense, is that we show evidence of these attributes in our lives. And I say limited because we as fallen humans can't reflect it fully as God would. But we can still reflect it. But there's some that we cannot reflect because He alone is God. Only God can reflect these. God is all-powerful. Now, I know some of you younger guys know what I mean. You thought you were all powerful until you met Stonewall Nolan on the rugby field. God is unchanging. We can't do that. God is unchanging. God is omnipresent everywhere at once. Little kids think their mom is omnipresent. Mom, how did you know? Because I tried to hide it from you. But God's omnipresent. We can't do that. God is sovereign. God is invisible. Some kids wish they had that one. Who broke the window? Lord, make me invisible. But God is invisible. But even there, God reveals Himself in created things. Listen to Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hands. God, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. God still reveals Himself to us. But this morning, I want to speak just quickly on reflecting God in our parenting. And I've got a very catchy title. It's called Reflecting God in Our Parenting. Family is important to God. Very important. You know, it wasn't a good idea because Adam was lonely. No, it's right. God said Adam should not be alone. But God created Eve as a companion to Adam. And then He went on and He instructed Adam and Eve. Genesis 1:29. And God blessed them. And said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Family had just been born. Family is important to God. God in Himself reflects family. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The relationships between this triune nature of God speaks to the very heart of family. In the Old Testament, on many occasions, God says, He calls Israel, my children. He calls a nation His children. In the New Testament, we hear what God says about new believers. About believers who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Calls them a children of the Most High. Adopted children of the Most High. Romans 8:16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Family is important to God. As mothers and fathers, we can draw on this wisdom. There is wisdom and revelation in Scripture and how to be a good mom and a good dad and how we should be parenting our children. There's also a whole lot of good information there for kids. We'll get to that. And so this morning, I want to speak about what are some of the things we could reflect in our parenting to our children. And the first one is co-laboring reflects God in our parenting. One Saturday morning, long ago, when Tessa was still a little baby, Esty was going out with her friends for some coffee, and I said I'd look after Tessa. And so she left, and for the first hour, everything was great. Went like a charm. I was the greatest dad in the world. And then she started to get niggly. Tessa started crying a little bit, and Esty had said to me, look, if she gets niggly, just give her a bottle. Now, a bottle is a mission. Because you've got to make it the right temperature, you've got to stir that powder stuff. It really is a mission. But I looked in the fridge and there was a little tub of pumpkin. And I thought, feed her pumpkin. And so I did. I gave Tess a little bit of pumpkin. She was happy and I was happy. It wasn't half an hour later. I was throwing Tessa in the air and I noticed I'd messed some pumpkin on the back of her head. And a little bit here on her baby grow. And so I wiped it off and I put it on the front of her baby grow. And as I did that, it didn't smell like pumpkin. So I turned Tessa around. She had pumpkin all over on the inside of her baby grow and on her wispy hair on the back of her head. And then I realized, there's not pumpkin. So later that morning, Esty comes home. She sees me with Tessa. Tessa's all smiles. She picks Tessa up. Ooh, she says, Tessie Bear, you smell nice. You got a new baby grow on. She looks at me. What happened? I said, co-laboring, babe. Tessa did a little thing in the baby grow. And I sorted it out. She said, where's the baby grow? I said, in the bin with the nappy. She said, how did you clean her? I said, basin and handheld shower. Works perfect. We raise children together. But definitely moms and dads have giftings in this relationship. I do not have pumpkin poo gifting. Co-laboring is evidenced throughout Scripture. We see a co-laboring between the Trinity, between us and God. In the Old Testament, it began with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Speaking about the Trinity. Later we see God many times sends the angel of God. Remember we spoke about it a few months back? That was Jesus. And many times. And we hear in Scripture, and God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. And in the New Testament we read, we are God's fellow workers. We co-labor with Him in extending the kingdom. As we work together with Him, the New Testament says. But you know, co-laboring is important in raising our children. We do it together, mom and dad. At times, kids need their mom. At times, kids need their dad. And at times, they need mom and dad. Obviously, late at night, they need their mother. But my mother knew when it was my dad's turn. Because she passed ownership to my dad. Some of you moms know what I mean. You pass this baton over to the father. And they always say your children, not our children. It's always your children. Your children have just made a fire in the bottom of the garden. Your children are jumping off the roof. Your children are using my new flower pot as cricket stumps. My mom passed the baton to my dad. And my dad had control of the situation. We stopped making fires in the bottom of the garden. We stopped jumping off the roof. And we used proper wickets for cricket stumps. You see, sometimes they need a dad. But it's important to know when to pass the baton. You don't just sort of pass the baton. There's a time when you pass the baton. I was walking past one of my daughter's rooms the one day, and I saw on the floor with a basin of water. And I said, "Hides, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I want to start shaving my legs. But I heard it doesn't work that well. So I've bought these wax strips and I'm having a problem on how they work." I said, "Let me help you." "Idiot, I should have said, wait, I'll call your mother." I said, "I'll help you." So I did exactly as the instructions said. To the T, hot water, etc., etc. Placed the wax strip on the shin of my leg. I waited the prescribed 7 minutes. And I said, "Hides, now you pull it off like this." I pulled it off. My body said, "What are you doing?" My leg said, "Pass the baton, put pass the baton." I limped off. I said, "Hides, I'm going to get mom. But shaving's much better." You see, we've got to know when to pass the baton. As moms and dads, we pass the baton between each other. As we parent our children, we co-labor in parenting. The other day, I was in my office here at the church. And one of the boys who lives close by came to see me. And he and his brother live in a flat with their mom. And his dad had died some time back. Anyway, he came to see me and they said, "Brad, there's someone here to see you." And he came through to my office. He said, "Brad, you know there's been some trouble in our school with boys stabbing each other." He said, "I'm very afraid. Could you pray with me?" And so there in my office, I grabbed his hands hard. You know, that's dads have got strength, and sometimes our kids, they've got to feel it. Not ugly, but I hold his hands hard, and I prayed for him. I prayed that God would protect him and that fear would leave him. He walked out my office with a smile, went back to school. Sometimes our children need the strength of a father. But sometimes they need that compassion that only a mom can give. See, that's when we pass the baton. We co-labor in raising our children. Here's a tip to fathers. In hugging your daughters. Hug your daughters often. Because you know what happens? I found this out by experience. They get to know the hug of love. And so when some other little snotkorp comes to hug them, and he hugs them, they go, hey, what was that? No, it's a hug of love. That was not love. Move it up. To all you single parents, I want to encourage you this morning. You don't have to do it on your own. Find a married couple in the church that you believe can sow into your child's life and would be good for you. Connect with them and invite them into your life. It will be good for you and for your children. You do not have to parent on your own. Go and speak to them. Allow them to speak into your life. Allow them to be involved in your child's life. Tell your son and daughter what you've done. Tell them. You can go to them anytime you want. My daughters phone their aunts often. We've allowed them the freedom. You phone your aunt about anything, anytime. Sometimes they would check to make sure if we're making the right decision. I didn't say to them, hey, what you phoning your aunt for? You know I made the right decision. No, they phoned their aunt and they got confirmation. Mom and dad know what they're doing. Allow them to speak to other people. Allow them the freedom to share with other people. There are many moms and dads in this church who would love to help you. But you don't have to do it on your own. Secondly, standing by our children reflects God in our parenting. And today, more than ever, we've got to stand by our children. Deuteronomy 31:6, Deuteronomy 31:8, Joshua 1:5, 1 Kings 8:57. I can go on. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a powerful scripture. In families today, children need to know their mom and their dad will never leave them nor forsake them. They need to have a security that mom and dad will not abandon them. Tessa was just going to get married. It was just a while before she got married. She's chatting to me the one day. She said, "Dad, you know when I get married, Yaka will be my husband." I said, "Yes." She said, "Then I submit to him and his leading." I said, "Oh, yes, you do." She said, so then we can do whatever we want as long as Yaku says it's okay. I said, no. If the two of you get up to nonsense and are getting into trouble, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to knock on your door. I'm going to give Yaku a hiding first because he's your husband. Then I'm going to give you a hiding. She said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. I'm your father. You know what she realized? Oh, my dad will never leave me nor forsake me. I will always be her father till the day I die. And now, Yaku is so lucky to have me as a dad. I will go to the ends of the earth to find them if they're lost. And I don't say that lightly. But I will. Because I love them both unconditionally. They're my family. For those teenagers here in the service, come on, where are you? Put your hands up. Come, be teenage proud. I know you and you in the clubs. You know what it... Come, put your hands up. Okay. Your mom and your dad want to know where you are and what time you're coming home. Not to control you. They want to know where to start looking if you don't come home. That is why they're asking you where you're going and what time will you be home. And here's a hot tip. Let them know if you're going to be late. You don't want your mom and your dad arriving at your friend's gate. Because your mom will have that look in her eye that's more lethal than a loaded AK-47. And she will say, where is my daughter Heidi? If you don't bring her now, I'm going to tie this tiger loose and refer to your dad. They'll come running down the drive. Sorry, 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 sorry. They start right at the top. Sorry, 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 sorry. All the way down. All their friends. They know. Mom and dad have come to look for you and it's not good. You see, but then grace and mercy abound. Because that's what God reveals to us. The AK-47 safety is put on. And the target turns into Winnie the Pooh. Thank you, Lord, you're safe. Let's go home together. The lesson has been learnt. And our hearts and blood pressure go back to normal. But you see, that's God being revealed in our parenting. Mercy and grace will abound. And I will look for you if you go missing. They need to know. This morning, we're going to be dedicating some children. We don't water baptize children because baptism is kept for believers. We've made a visible, believable profession in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Water baptism is a symbol of the beginning of your Christian life, given to those who have begun or are beginning their Christian life. The New Testament authors wrote as if this was true. They assumed everyone who was being baptized had already received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul says, as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well then, what's dedicating a child? When parents come to dedicate a child, it's acknowledging God's hand on that child's life. That's what we do when we come to dedicate our children. Parents come and they present their child before God, asking for grace and wisdom and carrying out their responsibilities as a parent. Parents also come praying that their child one day might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as parents, that should never be far from our minds. Praying for our children that they one day will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The dedication of children is throughout biblical history. And we see in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus' parents took him to the temple to be dedicated. Luke says they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And Luke goes on that when they returned home to Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. You see, the dedication of our children is a lot more for us as parents than for the children. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 to 7, we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them, that's the word of God, diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. No confusion when you should be talking about the things of God to your children. That covers about everything. We need to be an example. We need to love the Lord our God as an example to our children. Secondly, it teaches us that the teaching about God belongs to parents. It is the responsibility of parents, not anybody else. Primarily, it belongs to the parents. It says, you shall teach them. You shall talk to them. Talking about parents. We as parents need to be talking to our children about the things of God. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a gift. And as believers, we call to first and foremost recognize that they come from God first. They come from the Lord first. They belong to Him. We've been given this gift to raise in this world. But it belongs to God. But you know, God doesn't expect us to do it on His own. He doesn't say, okay, there's your baby, I'll see you at 21. Nah. That's not what the Lord says. God helps us raise our children. Isaiah 54 verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. That's comforting. And great shall be the peace of your children. The Lord helps us in raising our children. In fact, God speaks about children throughout Scripture. He's on their side. Often we'll hear Him speaking to the people of Israel, how He will save them and protect them. And then on the end, He adds this, also your children. Children are important to the Lord. Isaiah 49, for I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. There may be times when you feel your kids are beyond saving. You feel like you've done everything, but nothing seems to help. The times, in those times, you've got to remember, God helps us raise our children. You've got to recall it. I found a wonderful passage of Scripture in Exodus, where God is telling Moses, these people, they're stiff-necked, they're now worshipping idols, golden calves, I'm coming down, I'm going to sort them out. You know what Moses prays? Lord, they're yours. They're your children. Don't let the Egyptians look upon them. Despise them. They're your children. And then you go and read on. It says this. Exodus 32 verse 13. Here's Moses reminding God, like God needs reminding, reminding God of who the nation of Israel is. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it. And here's God's response. And the Lord relented from the disaster. God helps us in raising our children. And when you feel the world is swallowing up and you're desperate, they're worshipping golden calves, it's a time to call on the Lord. And remind God that they were His first. Not in an arrogant way, but humbly come before Him. Lord, they're your children. And lift them up before the Lord. And the Lord will save them, because that's what the Scripture tells us. Call out to heaven and remind God, Lord, you promised. Lord, you promised. Humbly. Lord, these kids of mine belong to you. You have wonderful plans for them. Please save them. Lord, you knit them together. It says in the Psalms, you knit them together. You know every hair of their head. You know them better than I do. Pluck them from darkness, please. Lord, reveal your grace and your mercy to them and your majesty to them. And as parents, we can and should call out to God for our children. Children are a joy. They bring life into a home. Ask anyone who has a child and that brings them to the home. Life comes into that home. And they're a heritage. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Can I ask those who are dedicating the children this morning, if you don't mind, please could you come up with your children? Let me call you out. Sam and Catherine with Joshua. Grandparents John and Pam. Clinton and Carissa with Clayton. Shane and Ilana with Shaylin. Robert and Barbara with Joel. Grandparents Joy. Scott and Wendy with Josh, Luke and Kaylee. Grandparents Errol and Shelley. William and Vanessa with Seth. Grandparents Francis. Lindsay, Michelle with Tatum, grandparents Donnie and Barbara. Lee with Braden and Tristan, grandparents Richard and Shirley, and Gwen and Nikki. Andreas and Jane with Angela. Ryan and Carrie with child Regan, grandparents Robin and Geraldine, Carl and Karen, and great-grand May Mitchell. Wonderful, three generations in one. Father Dylan and Sharon, children Connor and Tyler, grandparents David and Denise, Vic and Lindy. Celia and Alice, grandparent Emilia, and Conway and Olivia, and child Gabriel. Isn't it wonderful seeing so many people? Anyway. I start getting tears in my eyes when I see family because I know what family means. Let me tell you, when you belong to a family, you belong to something special. I want to speak to the grandparents that are here this morning. Not only those who are up front, but also those out there. Grandparents, the scriptures tell us that children are a crown of the aged. That you should be proud of your grandchildren. To your grandparents, well done. You've raised good children and they've raised good children. You know, you can always rely on granny and gramps. Always. Always turn to them when you're in trouble. My grandchildren always knew gran and gramps. They knew that if they went to gran's house, they'd always get a little something. Isn't that amazing? And kids squeal when they see gran and gramps. They squeal with delight. And so I ask, gran and gramps, do not stop from spoiling grandchildren. Lavish your love upon them. Lavish your love upon your grandchildren. Even today, one of my daughters is married, but she knows that when she visits Gran, she's going to get a little something from Gran. But these children this morning are your crown. And to the parents who we're going to ask to commit some promises regarding the raising of your children, we're going to ask you to commit before the congregation to these promises. And don't take them lightly. There's a responsibility that God gives to parents. And as a congregation, I want us to remember that we also have a responsibility to these children here. We have a responsibility to their parents to guide them and lead them. That when they come and ask for help, that we're ready to give it. That when they are in trouble and they don't know what to do, we would stand with them. And we would stand strong and we would pray with them for their children. And so what I'm going to do after each promise, I'd like you just to say, "We will." They're going to come up on the board for the congregation. But moms and dads this morning, do you promise to encourage your children through praise and correction using the Word of God as your standard? Do you promise to teach and instruct your children in the Word of God? Do you promise to love your children unconditionally? Do you promise to pray and intercede for your children just as Jesus constantly prays and intercedes for us before God the Father? And do you promise to provide a home of joy and peace and one where your children will feel safe? Won't you all stand and lift your hand as we can pray for these people? I'm going to ask the elders please to come up. We're going to pray for you and your children. But Father, I thank you for these children here today. I thank you, Lord, that you have birthed them for a reason and a purpose. I thank you, Father, that your word says you know every hair on their head, that you knit them together in their mother's womb. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given them to these moms and dads. I pray, Father, for your wisdom. I pray for your blessing and understanding on these parents this morning. That, Lord, that as they raise these children in the ways of the Lord, that their children would grow strong and mighty and be blessed. I thank you, Lord, that they would grow up into children that would be an example to many others. Lord, that they would lead people to know you. Lord, that they would be extenders of your kingdom in this world. I pray, Father, that where the world would come to distract them or to pluck them from us, Lord, that your hand would come down and protect them in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that as we pray and we intercede for our children, that, Lord, you would undertake on their behalf. I pray, Father, you would go before them. Lord, that you would open doors for them. That, Father, you would smash down mountains that would seem to come and overwhelm them. Lord, we pray for these children this morning. What a blessing they are to us. We pray, Father, as your family, the body of Christ, that, Lord, that we would keep an eye on these children. Lord, that we would hold these parents accountable for these children. But, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that you have brought to these families. I pray, Father, for life to be in these families. Pray, Father, for your hand to rest upon them. I pray, Lord, that they would see your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you all. If you have a word for these parents or the children, they're going to be in the coffee bar. Won't you please come and give it to them? But be blessed. Remember, there's coffee and the visitor's table. Thank you.